Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you back with us. It's good to be back. A lot of things we've got to share on this, our final Sunday before the Lenten season. I need to begin with an announcement. The folks at 8 o'clock would not have been aware of this, but we just received it between the services. It has pleased Almighty God to take from this world to himself the soul of John Novick. He passed overnight, and the only thing that arrangements are pending with Dobie's funeral home in South Newport Richey, but we are expecting a service either Thursday or Friday. We need to make the arrangement yet, but as we always do, we'll get that information out just as soon as we have it. There is a meeting at Dobie's tomorrow where we'll decide the matter tomorrow morning. So probably be expecting to hear something on that front tomorrow afternoon. Again, the gentleman's name is John Novick. We have been he has been homebound for quite some time, but still, it is something. Also, as long as we're dealing with prayers, we want to remember in our prayers for this morning that Edie Knudsen, she's actually with us this morning, but a lot of you that have known Edie for quite some time know that her daughter Dawn has gone through quite a bit in the years past with some surgeries and treatments and so forth. She's headed for another round. There's surgery this coming Wednesday, and then there will be treatments beyond that. And so, again, Edie's daughter, Dawn, we need to keep both of them in our prayers for this morning. Also, Roseanne, who is here this morning, her niece, Roseanne Verheyen, whose niece, Kathy Lind, gave birth to twins this past week, but they were only in their 24th week. So, I mean, it's so far so good, but these twins, their names are Jackson and Abigail. They obviously remain in neonatal intensive care, so we need to keep them all in our prayers. As you leave this morning, we're going to have just a couple of things for you. Number one is, this is the March calendar. Everything that you need, hopefully, will be on there, and please refer to that for the things that you need. But then also, when I was gone, we had these out and ready to go, and hopefully you got your copy. This is our Lenten devotional booklet for 2017 called From the Cradle to the Empty Grave. And the reason that we print these ourselves here, they're backed by where you would sign in as a guest. We got copies, both small and large print back there. We print these because the name of our church is here on the front of it, and then on page 2, about the bottom two-thirds of the page is information about our church. And so just please, even as you take one of these for yourself as part of your Lenten devotions, take along one that's for a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. If you've got a clubhouse or a doctor's office that allows these to be placed in a rack or on the table, by all means, take one for that purpose there. That's what we have. And if we need to print more, we will. The devotion obviously starts on Wednesday. Obviously, that's a part of, as we get ready for the Lenten season now, which begins Wednesday night. For our first service only on Wednesday, the meal will start at 6:15. Most of them will start at 6:30. But our first one will start at 6:15 over in the CLC. And then the first worship service, because it's a service of Holy Communion, and also we're going to be doing the imposition of ashes, that service will be here at 7 o'clock. The remaining ones will be over back in the CLC about 7:15. The theme of our service this year is called At the Crossroads, a wonderful little devotional thing that we're going to be spending some time with. You may have noticed something behind me here. I won't have any further announcements about it until after we're done with the message, but there's a lot of labor of love that has taken place, and we'll share a little more with that, again, after the message for this morning. But just a couple of other things regarding meetings this week. The 60th Anniversary Committee is meeting Thursday night, and it's important that we have, and we probably could use a couple more people that will be on that committee for the preparing of what we're going to be doing here at the end of April and then again at the end of December for our remaining celebrations. The other celebration, which will be in October, is part of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We're doing that with all of the other area Lutheran churches, and we're having an organizational meeting Tuesday night at Hope Lutheran Church in Hudson. We hope that you can join us for that. It'd be nice to have at least a couple people go along. I will leave from the church parking lot about 6:30 that night if somebody would just like to come to the church and go along with me. It's now official. We have enough people so that we can have a makeup session for the pictorial directory. It'll be tomorrow from 1 to 8, but if there's anybody else here who didn't get your pictures taken, we do have some openings left between 1 and 8 tomorrow afternoon, and then that's it. All we'll be able to do after that, it will be have people who will be submitting individual pictures or who we will be going and taking individual pictures for that. The only other things regard Child's Hope, we've got some stuff back on a table in Narthex number 2, both for a raffle that's going on, but also for the next Child's Hope dinner that is called Kickin' for the Kids, a fundraiser dinner on Tuesday, March the 14th. So, and finally, our Ladies Guild, their program this week is by something called Elder Assistance LLC. And ladies, prepare yourself, because you are one of the groups. We're going to be taking a group picture of you at that meeting as well. Make sure that you let us know that you were here with the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you this morning. Just very quickly, does anybody else have anything that needs to be shared with us yet today? Okay, let's begin then by greeting one another and standing in the peace of the Lord. On this last Sunday before Lent, our order of worship is Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151 in our Lutheran Service Book, or you can follow along up on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has sent his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from the Holy Scripture are appointed for the transfiguration of our Lord, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, the final worship before Lent, the Old Testament lesson. Moses explains what it was like for him and the elders of Israel to stand in the presence of God and receive his instruction. Moses writes, "And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant, Joshua, and went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let them go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter explains what it was like to be in the presence of the divine majesty and what it was like to hear the word directly from God. The apostle writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew explains what it was like for Peter, James, and John to stand in the presence of God with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. As we are reminded that we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention to, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Dear friends, it doesn't make any difference how many years it's been, but I would be surprised if there was anybody amongst you that does not remember their first car. I mean, even if that car was a pickup truck or whatever. Oh, and by the way, for the some of you that are gathered here that do not yet have a first car, trust me, you'll remember it. Okay? Oh, yeah, I remember my first car, a 1965 Chevrolet Bel Air, light blue, and like almost all the cars back at that time, it had this old AM radio with one speaker right in the middle of the dashboard on the, up in front, a speaker that was of such poor quality that after a couple of years, you couldn't even make out what was on the radio anymore. You know, you kind of had to put in your own custom speakers or something just so you could understand anything. But you know, it's really amazing how back then there was all that AM radio. And look, I didn't buy the car new. By the time I had this car, there were these AM radio station monstrosities in some of the big cities. A couple in Chicago, one in Detroit. I mean, they were all over. One of the biggest ones that people could remember listening to was this radio station in this place called Yankton, South Dakota. And as you know, radio way predated television. And one must have wondered back then, what was going to become of radio? If you were to have been asked back then, what's going to happen to radio? I don't know what you would have thought. And sure enough, it seemed like not more than about 10 years after those big AM stations were just dominating everything, they got to the point where they were in trouble. AM radio itself looked like it was going to become a thing of the past, but if anything now, today, it's bigger than ever. Between talk radio and news radio, and it's become a favorite thing to put sports broadcasts on. I've noticed up here in Pasco County that whether we're talking about the Rays or the Lightning, maybe there's another FM channel they're on, but I can't get the AM stations up here that they're on. But still, for people that must have wondered if radio was going to survive, look at what we have today. You can barely even just click the radio just a little bit and you find another FM station and then another and then another. And if you're not in FM, now we have Sirius XM where no matter what it is, whether it's this afternoon's Daytona 500, not only do they have a station that gives you the race itself, but you can tune in stations on Sirius XM where you'll be listening in a particular person's pit or what they're saying out in their race car. And you can also listen to a lot of news programs and comedy and just constant commercial-free radio. And if you don't like that, you can load up a ton of your own music to be played through the speakers. And if you don't like that, they've got these books on tape or on CD or whatever it is now where now you can just listen to a book. And if you don't like that, now you can take your cell phone and connect it in where now all of a sudden there's a speaker you can barely even see that's above you that becomes your mouthpiece. And the speakers of the car become a phone. All of that, my friends, for something that all we do is listen to it. You know, when you compare it to other things that are out there, we'll take television, for example. Television, you can kind of cheat because television uses more than one sense. There are some television broadcasts where the broadcasters actually just won't say anything. They'll just get very quiet and let you watch and listen to the sights and sounds and whatever else. And there's other mediums like that as well. But when it comes to the radio, all you have is your ears. And if it's more popular than ever, it must be because it is a powerful way of communicating a proper message, a message that we need to hear. And indeed, my friends, you hear the message of transfiguration and what it is that we need to hear
from God. And then once we've heard from God, what we need to hear from our Lord and Savior. And we realize as we enter into this Lenten season, it's good for us to ask, who are you listening to? Now, friends, don't guess when it comes to the radio, it doesn't matter near as much. I mean, I always had a rule, especially when I was on mission trips and we'd have 4 and 6 people inside of some of these vehicles. The rule was whoever drove got to pick what was going to be on the radio. And invariably, I'd be in the vehicle where if I wasn't driving, somebody would pick something like, oh, I used to use the term industrial strength country music or something like that. But and if that's your genre, good for you. But for the different things that are out there, there's a lot to listen to. But when it comes to the voice of faith, there's only one voice that is worth listening to. And even the disciples needed to see that. Up until this moment, it makes me wonder who the disciples had been listening to. These disciples already had their own vision and version of what they thought was going to happen to Jesus. Where this Jesus, you know, at some point was going to take his place on the throne as an earthly king. And of course, they were going to be his loyal servants, so they were going to get their rewards as well next to him or whatever the case might be. And all the things Jesus had been telling them, apparently they had a bad case of selective listening. To the point where, as we learn from some of the other Gospels, Mark and Luke, that also talk about the transfiguration, where apparently as they were going down the mountain and Jesus said to them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead, they were asking themselves, what in the world raising from the dead might mean? That just wasn't within earshot of them. That just wasn't what their ears needed to hear. It was confusing. This could not happen. I mean, we're talking about one of the great people of history. And now look at what happened. At least in their world, Jesus is now brought together with two of the other great people of history. Boy, what a threesome. Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Except Moses and Elijah were not there to take accolades about a great threesome. You see, the person that Moses and Elijah were talking to was their Lord and Savior too. And they were talking to him about what was about to take place when he went down the mountain. That indeed, he was, that this story about Jesus was indeed going to be all about a mountaintop experience, but not the mountain of transfiguration, but the mountain of Golgotha. Still, as we learned that this thing started at night and the disciples started off asleep, once they were fully awake, they wanted to do something with this moment, and perhaps we are no different. I have a hard time believing that there hasn't been some time in your history where something was happening, something incredible, something wonderful, and you in your mind are thinking, if only we could freeze this moment and make it last, and make it go on so much longer than it's going to go. That's the way Peter felt when he said, well, how about, Lord, let's make 3 tents. And the word in the Old Testament is sometimes also used as tabernacle, where the idea of a tabernacle is a place that you go to stay in for a while. He wanted the moment to last. But no, the moment that was to last was something that was about to be described about Jesus by his Father. And you know, gathered together today, we have a lot of people who are gathered here ready to worship their Lord and Savior who gave up his life for them. But we have many other people in this world that they neither have nor, as far as they're concerned, want a relationship with Jesus. But they'll gladly tell you about their relationship with this thing called God. And what's God saying to them? Well, look at what God said to the disciples. As a cloud envelops them, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the cloud cleared and they received a little tap that said, "Rise and have no fear," there was Jesus alone. The same Jesus alone that was going to have to walk the path to the cross all by himself. But when, if we always want to know what's God's will, what's God's purpose in our life, it is clear. Listen to him. Although it's not a part of this service, we do have that part in our worship service that says, in many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old, the forefathers of old, by the prophets, yes, including Moses and Elijah. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This is who we should be listening to. Why? Because he's our Lord and Savior. He was willing to pay the price, a price that had to be paid, a price we couldn't pay, but a price he was willing to pay, a price that made the true mountaintop experience one of agony, one of a crown of thorns, one of nails, and one of death. That's our destiny, to be able to live life forever because of the price that he paid for us. Why are we listening to him? Because God told us to. Do we really need a better reason than God saying to us, listen to him and look at the opportunity that we have? St. Peter, having been given some years of perspective, went back and said, look, we have something even more. Sure, we were witnesses up there, but we have something better that you would do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place. And perhaps he could have said, even someone that was shining brighter in the darkness of night, where we finally got a glimpse of just the true and full glory of what this Jesus was all about. We got something better. The Word of God. The words of Jesus, the person that we listen to. And finally, because that is what the story of Jesus is going to be all about. No, those moments that we wanted to last, they don't get to last. We must go down the mountain, and unfortunately, as I had to share at the beginning of service this morning, the experiences off the mountaintop for us are sometimes going to be nothing short of brutal, nothing short of almost as agonizing as we could have imagined what the cross would have been like. That's what the experience of this world, sadly, is going to be from time to time. But that's why the Lord's purpose is all about, as he told people, is all about what happens when and after I have been raised from the dead. It may have confused the disciples. Hopefully, it comforts you. So who are you listening to? 1,000 things that are out there, and no matter what it is, even as you're on your way home today, whatever you want to listen to is fine. But when it's time to turn off the radio and time to decide what we need to listen to in our lives, friends, there's only one voice. There's a lot of noise and a lot of supposedly competing noise, but there is only one that is truly worth listening to. Well, let's pay attention to him. The Lord. The Lord who gave up his life for us. The Lord whom the Father said, listen to him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, my friends, we have got something that's going to happen now that I just made kind of a quick mention of. I don't think you could have missed this, but just in case we did, it was our intention. We had ordered on behalf of an offering of love from members of our congregation to have these new pyramids up for our first anniversary celebration and to dedicate them at that time. They came 9:30 the next morning. And what I finally had to tell our people was that, look, we will have a Sunday right before Lent when we can dedicate these things. And it's probably fitting that we do this now because these are white pyramids. We still have some almost new white pyramids that's for like Christmas and Easter. But as you know, there are other times when we will have to have white out that is not Christmas and Easter. You wouldn't want Christmas decorations or Easter decorations up here. And that's what these are for. The other times during the year, like Transfiguration, like anniversary celebrations. And so as you can see, we've got images that regard the Lord's Supper, and we also have the images of the Alpha and the Omega on both sides. We thank God's people who have shared from their own love and their own resources to bring these to us. Let's take a moment to dedicate them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. It is therefore fitting that we implore the Lord's blessing as we close now the altar of his sanctuary, as well as the other parts that are used up here, in which he strengthens and preserves us in the true faith. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. O Lord God, you instructed Moses, your servant, to make hangings and fine linens for use in your tabernacle, and you strengthen us with your most holy sacrament. So we implore you to sanctify each of these special paraments and hangings to be used for the adornment of your church and for use in the consecration and distribution of the body and blood of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As his light shone most brightly on this time of transfiguration, may that light also shine through as we recognize these times of celebration by placing these to your glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so may the Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless each and every one of these paraments as we use them in our midst. Amen. So now at this time, we continue our service by confessing our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Even as our other Bible studies continue, and we've actually got another home Bible study taking place at my own home this evening, during the Sundays between the services here in the sanctuary, here in the Lenten season, we have a special Bible study that is just beginning. And indeed, a new Bible study that is called Regrets, Reality, and Restoration, taking place here between the services, starting at 9:30 during the Sundays in the season of Lent. We hope to get it wrapped up by Palm Sunday. Well, let's then stand as we lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, you let the light of your Son shine at its brightest on this day. In the midst of a world of darkness, at a time when he prepared not to ascend to you, but to descend into the valley so that he may be lifted up on another mountain on behalf of each of us. We praise you for that gift you gave to us in our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Help us always to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, how you let that light shine inside of our great darkness, and how you allow us to reflect that light into a world as we are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy. As you have gathered us together in Christian churches throughout the world, defend these churches, purchased with the precious blood of our Savior. Strengthen your faithful people through that precious word, the word which tells us about Jesus, the word which we listen, the word which we live by. May we always be made perfect in love and in all good works and be established in them, in the faith that was once delivered generations ago to the saints and is now being delivered to us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, let your blessing remain upon all homes with your presence, blessing them with your joy. in the midst of a time when the whole concept of family is under assault. Bless and be with the children. Help them to be brought on behalf of their families into that special miracle that you've given us in baptism. May parents always be enabled to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all family in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show forth your praise. Then indeed, in the midst of all of the messages of the world, which is nothing but noise that would seek to drown out the true message, may that always be the message that reaches our ears and our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness, or adversity. This morning we lift up our hearts on behalf of the family of John Novak, on behalf of Edie Knudsen and her daughter Dawn, on behalf of the twins that were born to Kathy Lynn, as they remain in neonatal care, and on behalf of all of us who have concerns that are known and unknown to others, but are always known to you. We now take a special moment to remember someone in our own life that we bring before you by name in a moment of silence. Bring consolation to them, O Lord, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, but the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We conclude on the top of page 10 with the closing responsive prayer. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, when your Son was transfigured on the mountain, it was a fearsome display of his holiness and a reminder that you are not aloof, but accompanying us in our walk through this life. Assure us of your presence now to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, to speak to us in your word, and to strengthen us for whatever comes in the days ahead. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our final hymn, the final hymn before Lent, is the final time we will sing Alleluia until Easter, hymn 417. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.